these beautiful prayers were written by Srila Prabhupada just at the conclusion of that 38-day journey on the Jaladuta across most of the world. Srila Prabhupada's prayers reveal the very essence of spiritual life, and especially the very essence of his mood of devotional service in complete unconditional surrender to the will of his Guru and Krishna. To really appreciate what Srila Prabhupada is speaking here, it will help us by looking a little into the background of events that took place just prior to this composition. We should know that Srila Prabhupada did not write these prayers for the general populace. They were written in his own personal Bengali language, in his diary. It was simply his heart's expression of devotion to Sri Krishna. Very private, very personal. It appears that Prabhupada had no intention that they would ever be published or even read by anyone. But by Lord Sri Krishna's grace, we can catch a glimpse into the personal, private, loving dealings between the Lord and his devotees. What is the heart of a true Vaishnava? In the early 1920s, Srila Prabhupada met Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at 1 Uttadunga Junction Road in Calcutta. It was there on their first meeting that he was given the order to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya in English language all over the world. At that time, he had recently been married and had their first baby child. It was not an easy time to embark on such a life's mission. Prabhupada maintained the responsibilities of his family. He explained to us years later that it was in that first meeting that he accepted his Guru Maharaj as his Lord and Master, his eternal Father. And deep, deep within the core of his heart, he was constantly remembering that instruction and orienting his life in such a way to prepare to someday fulfill that order. From that time, Srila Prabhupada was always very, very eager to meet with and associate and assist the disciples of his spiritual master. Although he had so many obligations he had to do, he always harmonized it very carefully with his spiritual life. It wasn't until over 10 years later that he received initiation. We know that Prabhupada went to Braj Bhumi for the Braj Mandala Parikram that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was performing. At when he arrived, they were in Koshi, which is the place of the treasury house of Nanda Maharaj on the eternal platform. There, the devotees were going to go on a tour to the Sheshashayi Vishnu temple, which is not so far. And simultaneously, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going to speak. And almost everyone went to see the deity. Just a few very, very senior devotees and Srila Prabhupada and a few guests stayed. Prabhupada was thinking, he actually told us that what will I see when I go to see the deity? Better I hear from my Guru Maharaj. And he listened with great eagerness. And Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke for many hours. And so many people had other functions to perform. Some were tired, coming and going, but Prabhupada just stayed and listened. Shortly after this, Prabhupada returned to his place of residence. At the time it was in Allahabad or Prayag, where he had opened the Prayag pharmacy near the confluence of the rivers Jamuna, Ganga, Saraswati, the place of the famous Kumbh Mela. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Gaudiya Math. It was called the Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math, because it was there that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, close by, instructed Rupa Goswami for 10 days in the principles of pure devotional service. In fact, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased by the humility and the devotion of Rupa Goswami that he embraced him, and upon embracing him, invested within his heart the capacity to understand fully the heart of Lord Chaitanya. It was there that the temple leader recommended Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to initiate Prabhupada. He immediately accepted. Yes, I have taken note. He likes to listen. He likes to hear. He does not go away. And he gave him both Harinam and Gayatri Diksha at that time. Years later, Prabhupada was stationed in Bombay, and Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, two very, very elevated preachers of Gaudiya Math, were there to start a center. And Prabhupada was introducing them to friends, and he was arranging programs, he was leading kirtans, and the three of them actually worked together to establish a very, very nice center in Bombay. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so pleased, he came. He came especially to install the deities. It was at that time that the sannyasis recommended to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Abhay Charanaravinda, he's very expert, very devoted. He should be the president of our math. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, let him go on with what he is doing now. He will do everything in due course. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur expressing how he felt that he was not performing adequate service. So many of my God brothers are sannyasis and brahmacharis. They are with you always. I am a grihastha with children. Please, how can I serve you? He received the exact instructions he received the first day they met. you should preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. It was only a matter of weeks after that letter that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati departed from the world. Prabhupada meditated on that instruction as his life and soul. When he was just over 50 years old, following the proper Vedic Varnashram system, he retired from family life. A series of events that he considered Krishna's very, very intimate mercy led to that decision, and went to Jhansi. In Jhansi, he was given a nice place, and he began his League of Devotees. From there, he wanted to establish worldwide preaching. He spent about a year there, working so very, very hard, day and night, just making organizations, making preaching, doing kirtans, meeting people. And one day, the governor's wife, she wanted to start a ladies' group in that same facility. And they took away the facility from Prabhupada. All that work, there was nothing to remain. But Prabhupada just saw every reversal, every difficulty as an opportunity for better service. So from there he went to Vrindavan. He lived for some time at the Bamsi Gopal temple near Keshi Ghat. In 1944, of course, we know he began his Back to Godhead magazine and how he struggled and toiled to write the articles, edit, publish, do the fundraising. He was the only book distributor, too. One of his friends advised him, if you really want to make a permanent impact in people's hearts, magazines are not enough. You should write books. Well, soon after that, he moved to the Radha Damodar temple and began translating and writing the purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. His Guru Maharaj appeared to him on several occasions in dreams over the years, ordering him to take sannyas. This was very frightening for Prabhupada, as he expressed it later. But through his Guru Maharaj and his godbrothers, the pressure was very strong. He took sannyas. It was interesting because it's on his sannyas initiation, besides his guru and a few other people, nobody spoke English. It was in Mathura at the Keshava Gaudiya Math. Almost everybody assembled was Hindi-speaking or Brijabasis. And something that is not ordinary, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj asked Prabhupada to speak. Usually the initiates don't speak at their initiations. And he spoke in English. Although practically nobody there could understand English, he spoke in English. Then this is very, very deep understanding of Srila Prabhupada. Because he was taking sannyas for one purpose exclusively, to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj, which was to preach in English, because that was the world language. And Rupa Vilas Prabhu gave a very beautiful narration yesterday of how during that ceremony, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj took note that Prabhupada would be the Acharya of the Hare Krishna movement, because of his complete faith and attachment in the holy names. So for about 6 years, Prabhupada lived in those little rooms with clay floors, clay walls of Radha Damodar temple. If you go there today, believe it or not, they're very opulently renovated. But what they used to be, even when I was there in 1971, Very, very, very simple. He lived in those simple circumstances day and night. He offered his prayers to Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, his Guru Maharaj, planned his preaching in his heart and wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. It wasn't easy. He had no help. He had no support. In fact, he wrote to some of the very prominent leaders of Gaudiya Math, asking, you know, you have the temples, our guru's temples, you have many facilities. Nobody is doing our guru's mission. Our guru's mission is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mission, to preach this message all over the world. I'm willing to do it. Sponsor me, support me, help me, and I'll do it. But they all considered it impossible. They said, you just come, you live in the mat, you just, you know, do your service here, and then later on we'll discuss all these other things. Prabhupada was never discouraged by any difficulties. He understood he had to do it himself. It was his guru's mission. Prabhupada never wanted to do anything himself. He wanted to do everything, and he wanted to do everything working under his senior godbrothers, in conjunction with his godbrothers. He just wanted to serve his guru's mission. But nobody had the vision. Nobody had the courage. Although many were very, very great Vaishnavas with deep realizations and pure love, the mission of Guru was burning in his heart. He read in Bhagavad Gita the verse, Vyabhashayat makha budhir eke ha kuru nandana bahushaka hyanantascha budhayo vyabhashayana. Where Krishna says, those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote his commentary, this means one must make the order of Guru life and soul. That was Prabhupada's very special quality. He was now A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, living in Radha Damodar. He had to go to Delhi and beg the publishers to give him loans. You know, just, you print the book, because I don't have anything. He didn't even have money for the paper. And in India, that's a big ordeal, getting paper. He didn't have anything. He conveyed, because of his sincerity and his devotion, the publishers, even though he was an unknown author by the public's point of view, they were so convinced by his sincerity and his saintliness that they actually were willing to print it, and Prabhupada had to go out and distribute them and then pay them back. After the first three volumes, which comprised the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, were complete, Prabhupada was 69 years old. He decided, I must now take the message abroad. He went to Bombay. He was preaching in Bombay, so many places. If you look in his diary, it shows all the places just around where our temple is also. Wilson College, Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, visit Mafatlal, so many nice things he says. In April of 65, he began to preach at the Skindia Navigation Steamship Company, which was owned by Sumati Maharaji. And it was there that he appealed for a ticket on their free passage to America. Why did Prabhupada want to go on to America? This is interesting. I have to go back a little. When Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, he did a program at one Mr. Agarwal's house in Agra. And Mr. Agarwal was very much impressed by Prabhupada's authority and his devotion. So he was one day revealing his heart to Prabhupada about a sorrowful thing in his life. He said, "My son, Gopal," he was so eager for higher education, he went to America to study in college against my desires. And while he was in America, he was trapped by an American woman. So the words Prabhupada says, something like that. And against my will, he got married, and now he is living in America like an American. So he's expressing this, appealing for solace from Prabhupada. Well, Prabhupada was always thinking about the order of his Guru Maharaj. He said, "If your son is in America, then why doesn't he sponsor me to come to America so I can preach?" Mr. Agarwal didn't say anything. He didn't say he would do it or not do it. Prabhupada actually forgot about it. About 3-4 months later, Prabhupada got a letter from the Indian embassy that a certificate had come with an invitation to America, and it was approved. Prabhupada was very happy. He considered this was very much Krishna's arrangement. So he went to Bombay. On one occasion, later on, a newspaper reporter from India asked Prabhupada, "Why did you decide to go to New York instead of London?" Because London was so important to India, New York had no relevance to India. And Prabhupada was so humble. He said, because the Scindia Steamship Company only had boats to New York, they didn't have to London. And I got free passage. Of course, Prabhupada understood that America was leading the world as far as giving direction to society. It was with great effort to get his passport, to get his no objection certificate, to get his visa. It was very, very difficult. He was struggling, 69 years old, just going from place to place to place, just begging people to help him for months. Anybody else would have given up. And ultimately, Sumati Maharaji actually told him that, "I can't give you this ticket. New York's a very cold place. And the people there are very materialistic. They don't know what is Krishna. You are an old man. You will die. I will not give you." Prabhupada would not take no for an answer. From what I understand, he actually, at one point, he sat on the steps of her office and wouldn't leave until he got his ticket. Here he is, a Paramahamsa Vaishnav of the highest order, a resident of Vrindavan. He left Radha Damodar Temple in Seva Kunj of Braj Bhumi to sit on the steps of some materialistic office, begging. Begging what? Begging for service to his Guru Maharaj. Ultimately, she relented and gave him ticket. It was in August of 1965. Prabhupada took train from the railway station in Bombay. His train went through Nagpur and ultimately came to Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada met a newspaper. Brahmananda Prabhu showed me this newspaper article that he found. Very obscure. And in this newspaper article, very small, Prabhupada obviously went to the newspaper office, it appears. And it says that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is about to go to America on a journey where he has many disciples and temples. He is going to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. At that time, he didn't know anybody except Gopal Agarwal, who was a materialistic person who didn't know anything about him. And even then, Gopal Agarwal only sent an invitation. Prabhupada only got permission for 3.5 weeks to be in America. That was all. So, then Prabhupada went to Mayapur, to the Samadhi Mandir of his Guru Maharaj. And he spent the day there just praying for the blessings and mercy of his spiritual master. We can never understand in our lives what Prabhupada's heart must have been in his just total surrender to his Guru Maharaj's will as he prayed to him at his samadhi in Sri Mayapur Dham. It was on Friday the 13th of August 1965 that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami boarded the MV Jaladuta at the King George's Dockyard of Calcutta. It was a very simple send-off. Not a single one of his godbrothers, godsisters came because they just didn't see relevance in what he was doing. There were 5 people who came to the docks to see him off. There was Bhagavati. Nobody knows who that is. The Dharwan of the Skindia Steamship Company, an agent of that company. There was a Mr. Sain Gupta, Mr. Ali, and Prabhupada's little son, Vrindavan Chandra. That was the committee that was seeing him off to do the great mission of spreading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's word all over the world. When Prabhupada climbed up those steps, what were his possessions? He had a very small suitcase, an umbrella, and a little bag of dry cereal. He took that dry cereal because he actually didn't know if there would be any edible food for him in America. Years later, I asked his son, Vrindavan Chandra, what were you thinking when your father, who was just about 70 years old, was going on that steamship to sail across the world, and you knew his mission and how he had no facilities, no contacts, nothing. What were you thinking about your father? He said, when my father was walking up those steps, he said, I was proud of him. So the Jaladuta began its journey August 13th, 1965. It entered into the Ganga Basin and then into the sea, Indian Ocean. It went around India to Cochin, which is Kerala. Didn't go to Cochin. It just stopped for some time, some distance in the sea because they could not get into Cochin. That day was Janmashtami. And where was Prabhupada for Janmashtami? He was on a steamship, just stranded in an ocean with all materialistic people. But Prabhupada writes in his diary how excited he was that the captain, Captain Pandey, actually had him give a lecture for 1 hour on Janmashtami. Not only that, Prabhupada cooked a whole feast for Krishna and distributed it to all the crew members and preached to them. And the next day, Nandotsav, in the Arabian Sea, Prabhupada turned 70 years old. On the 23rd of August, just 10 days after the journey began, Prabhupada writes in his diary how he was suffering severe seasickness, the 23rd and 24th. And it was on the 25th that he had his heart attacks. Although he was writing every day in his diary for 5 days, there was just a squiggly line coming down. He could not write anything. The 13th day of his journey, he suffered a massive heart attack. And then it repeated itself. It wasn't until the 31st of August that Prabhupada writes that I passed over a great crisis on the struggle for life and death. That was on the Arabian Sea. Now please tell me, my friends, who at the age of 70, with no money, no support, no supporters, just endured massive heart attacks, what person is going to commence a worldwide mission at that state of life? Only one person I know, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote in his diary, if the Atlantic Ocean shows its regular face, there would be no possibility of his survival. Because the Atlantic Ocean is generally very, very turbulent. Prabhupada explained later that when he was having those heart attacks in the Arabian Sea, he was wondering, how is it possible for me to survive? And he had a vision where Krishna appeared on a boat with all the other incarnations. And Krishna was actually rowing the boat and told Prabhupada that I will take you to your destination. And Captain Pandey explained to Prabhupada that the Atlantic Ocean was never so peaceful in his entire career as a captain in sailing. So it was September 10th, while sailing across the Atlantic Ocean, that Prabhupada revealed his heart to Lord Krishna in the following passage of his diary. Please listen very carefully. This simple composition really reveals Prabhupada's heart of sacrifice and what he was separating himself for just to give us Krishna. I feel better today, but I am feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my lords, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, and Radha Damodar. The only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I am tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I have left Bharat Bhumi just to execute the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in pursuance of the Lord, of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I have taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His divine grace. I depend fully on their mercy, so far away from Vrindavan. Prabhupada said Vrindavan was his home. Prabhupada is an eternal resident of Vrindavan. The separation that Prabhupada was feeling from Vrindavan cannot be calculated by anything but a Paramhamsa Vaishnava. But yet he was willing to endure that separation where his beautiful little rooms in Radha Damodar were always waiting for him to take such risks to execute the order of his spiritual master, to give compassion to the lost fallen souls who are bereft of love of Godhead. When the Jaladuta arrived at the Boston Harbor, Prabhupada wrote these two sets of prayers. In today's prayer that we are reading, it's very wonderful to see Prabhupada's complete faith in what was totally invisible to the mind or senses. Prabhupada is explaining that by my Guru Maharaj's strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world, in all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. There wasn't anybody outside of India except one person in Germany that was chanting Hare Krishna. Yes? Prabhupada had this complete faith, and there was nobody else except him who was making the effort to do it. And he just had three heart attacks, seasickness. He was 70 years old. He arrived in New York City. He had 40 rupees. But what use is 40 rupees? Nobody knew what a rupee was in America then. You could not change it. In fact, years later, when he went back to India, he still had the same 40 rupees because he couldn't change it. In other words, he was penniless. He had nothing. Can you imagine when Prabhupada came off the Jaladuta, he didn't even know if anyone was going to be there for him. He actually told one of our godbrothers that when I got off the Jaladuta, and I just started walking in the docks of New York, there was nobody there. He said, I just looked to my right and looked to my left at this completely foreign, strange land. And he said, but I knew I had my books. I knew that in the boat was my books. So my mission would be successful. He had such faith, such compassion, such devotion. And of course he went to, after he walked for some time, just some strange, just a hired man from Traveler's Aid came and put him on a bus to Butler, Pennsylvania. He arrived around 3 a.m. Lokeshwar Pandit Prabhu has come to take me away. Should I continue for a few more minutes? Prabhupada in Butler, he was always just planning. Even though he was living with these Agarwals, Sally Agarwal, they were all meat eaters. They were drinking. They were smoking. It wasn't a very pious place to be. He didn't even stay with them. They just rented a little room for him, and he came every day. He had to share refrigerator with their meat. This was completely foreign to such a great devotee. But Prabhupada said, while I was in Butler, he was just studying how the Americans lived, how the Americans thought, how the Americans reacted to situations. He was just studying the American psychology so he could somehow or other penetrate it with pure unalloyed devotion. What would have been to most of us just a horrible experience with mundane people, Prabhupada, it was like an educational briefing for his preaching mission. And after being briefed, he went to New York City. For some time he lived with this Dr. Mishra, who was a Mayavadi. Didn't allow Prabhupada to speak, but liked his kirtans. And although they argued so many times philosophy, when Dr. Mishra got sick, Prabhupada nursed him to health by his cooking. Dr. Mishra said, he saved my life. So although Prabhupada philosophically disagreed with persons, still he had such love, concern, and compassion for the person. And he was living in Bowery. At one point, somebody broke into his little room in the Bowery and his typewriter was stolen. His manuscripts of his books were stolen. I mean, it was horrible. And he was writing to the people of India, send some men, let's do something here for our Guru Maharaj. And everyone was just, it's impossible. He was sent to Parakaratals and some sweets, but that was about it. Everyone was telling him, come home, it's impossible. But he remained. I will end, because I have other commitments to my godbrother, by reading one passage. March 6th, Sunday, 1966. Prabhupada writes, today is the Adivas of Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Devotees in Vrindavan and Navadvip are enjoying the celebration. I am here alone, without any devotee companion. But I have come here to serve the Lord and not for my personal happiness. I am prepared to live in hell. I am prepared to live in hell even if I am able to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that his mission should be propagated all over the world, and that is my objective. I do not mind the inconvenience personally felt. Prabhupada had threats to his life, terrible ill health, poverty in a strange cold land. He wrote this just passing through the winter of New York City. And eventually, by his tremendous amount of faith in Guru and Krishna and the holy name, he began 26 Second Avenue and then spread Krishna consciousness to every major continent of the world. That is the nature of Prabhupada's compassion. That is the nature of Prabhupada's love. Real love is tested through sacrifice. And it is that love that is factually our only qualification. We see how Prabhupada was so humble. He's calling himself an insignificant beggar, unqualified, most fallen, begging Krishna and Guru to give him the words. I have no devotion, I have no knowledge, but you have given me this name, Bhaktivedanta. Now it is up to you, Lord, to fulfill the purport of my name. I am just your wooden puppet. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance, Lord. And in today's prayer, he's feeling such deep, deep separation from Vrindavan, but willing to make that sacrifice for you and me. That is the nature of his love. to the degree we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada for that love and reciprocate with him for that compassion, certainly Krishna and Sri Radharani will bestow all mercy and all good fortune upon us. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.